Case number 13-7006. Charles Mosley Marshall, Jr., doing business as Zyda Solutions and Zyda Solutions Appellants versus James Allison, the Salvation Army and the Salvation Army. Mr. Brown for the appellants, Mr. Wood for the athletes.
May it please the court. My name is Andrew Brown. I'm appearing with Christopher Nace on behalf of Charles Marshall, doing business as Zyda Solutions. This action was originally filed in Superior Court in the District of Columbia against James Allison and the Salvation Army, and it was subsequently removed to the court below. At the conclusion of discovery, the court below granted the defendant's motion for summary judgment, and that is what has been appealed. The complaint alleged, in essence, two claims: one, a defamation, libel, slander claim against Major Allison and the Salvation Army, since he was acting in his capacity at the time, and also a tortious interference with business relationship complaint. The big picture here is that Charles Marshall ran a marketing business and has for some time. And in 2007, he began a project with the Salvation Army through a gentleman named Dean Feener. The Salvation Army was interested in, of course, updating their marketing efforts to bring them to more modern day, and they hired Mr. Feener to take the lead in that regard, who it's our contention that he subsequently hired Zyda to put together these programs. Mr. Marshall testified that they had an oral agreement. That's at page 74 of the record. And the terms of that agreement were very specific with Mr. Marshall's testimony. And they involved a pricing structure for four programs. The main one was a PEARL, which is a personal URL that each Salvation Army donor would have when they logged on to their to the website, and that frankly is the largest of the projects. Mr. Marshall's business, pursuant to that agreement, put thousands of man hours into developing the programs, and in 2009, in the summer of 2009, they were set to be implemented when it was our contention that Major Allison undermined them, who's also a Salvation Army employee here in Washington, D.C., for malicious purposes. We went and took the deposition of William LaPole, and I miscited his deposition in the brief as page 109. The real relevant portions are on 110. And what the former Salvation Army officer Bill LaPole said was that Major, and he also did it in his affidavit at pages 112 and 113, that Major Allison could have actual malice and did have actual malice because he was loyal to an entity called Grizzard. These Salvation Army officers are not highly paid, and so when Major Allison was provided a number of benefits through the years by Grizzard, the contention is, and Mr. LaPole, the former Salvation Army officer, testified that because Grizzard is so embedded, there's a loyalty to them. And it's from that loyalty and Mr. LaPole's testimony about such that we contend that there was actual malice here in Major Allison's comments. And what were those comments? They were twofold.
Is it, just to be clear, your only response to the defense of privilege is the claim of actual malice. Is that correct?
Actual malice. Some of the cases say reckless disregard for the truth. For example, it says malice or reckless disregard for the truth. I think it could fall under either. But my
contention is claim that the privilege is otherwise inapplicable.
That's correct. It's one of those two, and I think it falls under. I even think that there is sufficient evidence that it falls under malice, given Mr. LaPole's testimony.
The critical meeting took place where?
Here in D.C. And it was in the office of the Salvation Army headquarters here, and it involved three individuals, mm-hmm. All of whom are within the Salvation Army, and that's why the privilege does apply. But at that time, it was our contention, and at deposition, Major Allison and Dean Feener said that the allegation of kickbacks, the appearance of kickbacks, was made. They then filed declarations after their depositions that directly contradicted that. And the court below relied on the declarations to say, well, they're all in agreement that it didn't happen. But when I took their depositions, and they're right there at pages 134 and pages 95 of the record, they both acknowledged that was there. And so, you know, they also make an argument, well, it was an appearance of kickbacks, not just kickbacks. And the court below makes an issue of that and says, well, that's not going to be enough. But the case law is that if there's dual meaning or it's vague at all as to whether something's defamatory or not, that's for a jury to decide, not for the court to conclude. And here, all of the parties, Major Allison, Mr. Feener, Mr. LaPole, all concede that the word kickback in this nonprofit setting is poison. It's a horrible thing, and it ended this program.
But you said LaPole. It was Sears who was the third man.
Yeah, I apologize. It was Mr. LaPole who testified that the appearance of kickbacks is such a bad thing. Okay. You're correct. It was Mr. Sears who was the third party in the case. Now, I don't have his deposition, so I have no ability to rebut his declaration. But the other two, their depositions are directly contradictory to what they put in their declaration.
Let me ask you about something the district judge, in her order, when she said this is inadmissible hearsay, that is Feener to Marshall, and she said that's been conceded.
I agree with that, but
you did. You
agree? I do agree
that
Feener's, Your Honor, that Feener's comments to Marshall are inadmissible hearsay. But here I'm not relying on Feener's comments to Marshall. I'm relying on Feener's deposition, his sworn testimony, and that isn't hearsay. That is a statement of a party opponent. And he has acknowledged both that he made a kickback and that there were unauthorized visits. I think if you read the court's opinion, it is clear when she uses the word imagination right up front. She doesn't like my client's case, and I recognize that. But that making factual determinations as she did about which declaration was right and which one was wrong, and whether Mr. Feener had apparent authority or not, and whether there was unauthorized visits and whether that was defamation, those are factual questions for a jury.
All right, let me ask you again, because I'm still not clear on this. She says on page 13 of her order, Mr. Marshall's testimony as to what Mr. Feener said is inadmissible hearsay, and Mr. Marshall does not respond to the hearsay argument, and thus the issue is deemed conceded. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is.
All right.
But my point is that Dean Feener, subsequent to his comments to Mr. Marshall, testified in a deposition, and which is included here, okay, that he said the things anyway. And for that evidence, it's not inadmissible hearsay, nor does she contend that it is. I'd like to reserve my remaining 2 minutes.
All right. Mr. Wood.
May it please the Court. I'm John Wood. I'm representing the Salvation Army and Major Allison, an officer of the Salvation Army.
Could you take a minute or two and just, at least for me, describe how the Salvation Army works? It seems like there are two things that are conflicting in the way it works. There's plenty of evidence that these 350 Corps are autonomous. They make their own budgetary decisions, all that. And at the same time, you've got Major Allison and Sears and McGowan and all of these divisional people trying to find out if this was territory-wide. Which is it? There must be some centralized control of the Corps.
Your Honor is correct. There is, to some extent, in certain areas. The thing that Mr. Marshall learned the hard way, and he expressed that in his narrative, is the local corps, which deliver the services to the people,
right,
are pretty much autonomous. Right. They're not going to go buy their own computer system because every computer has to talk to the other computers within the territory. But they do make decisions about what kind of software they might want to use, what kind of marketing efforts they might want to engage in, such as what Mr. Marshall was offering. But there's overall financial, there's overall systems, computer systems, that kind of thing is more or less centralized within the territory in Atlanta,
Georgia.
All right,
Georgia. So let's take this Pearl program.
Yes.
For one core to choose that, would the entire division or the entire territory have to have that same program?
No, Your Honor, it would not. The only thing that the Salvation Army was truly interested in here in terms of Pearl or these other computer-based systems, which had an effect on donors, was that they work together with the overall donor database, mm-hmm. which Mr. Feener was hired to replace. So that's why Mr. Feener was involved in this effort at all, is because he had to work with the database, and that database had to work with whatever sort of marketing, online marketing systems were used by the cores. But one core could buy Mr. Marshall's product, and it would have, as long as it worked with the overall territorial database, that would be fine if nobody else bought it.
All right, well, that leads to me why I'm asking it, because am I confused when Marshall said, we're hoping to do this territory-wide, you can't necessarily imply from or infer from that it had to be territory-wide to work?
Well, as Mr. Marshall noted shortly after he made that statement, he wished he hadn't.
Right.
Because this distributed decision-making is something that the officers in the Salvation Army hold dear. And the notion that some headquarters is going to tell them buy this or don't buy that is something that gets feathers ruffled. And it did. And that's why Major Allison sent an email saying, has the territory actually approved this? If so, I don't need to do anything else. But if not, please let me know. And it caused all kinds of back and forth because of this little protection of their separate corps. But the main problem with Mr. Marshall's case, Your Honor, is not his failure to sell his product to a single corps over a year-long effort. The fact is that both of his claims are based on the same alleged defamation. Major Allison supposedly said these things, these accusations were made against Mr. Marshall in this one meeting. Everybody agrees who was there, who wasn't there, and Mr. Marshall wasn't there. So he doesn't really have any direct evidence of anything that went on there. He cannot get out of the starting blocks on this case because the defamation is one count. And the same defamation is also the basis of the tortious interference. That is the interference. So if there's no defamation, there's no count one or count two. And in this case, the three gentlemen who were involved in the meeting, the crucial meeting, which everybody agrees happened, all have submitted declarations saying there were no defamatory statements made by Major Allison or anybody else.
Well, that's a legal conclusion.
Well, they're saying, I did not say thus and so, which Mr. Marshall has alleged was said.
Well, what about the depositions?
I just plain disagree with what Mr. Brown said. The depositions are perfectly in line with the declarations.
Okay.
In each case, the people who were deposed, and he said they didn't get to depose Mr. Sears. Well, I chose not to depose Mr. Sears. He wasn't hiding anywhere. They just never noticed his deposition. But the testimony in the depositions squares almost exactly with the assertions in the declarations.
What was it? He's dropping Marshall's name so often that if we didn't know you better, we'd think you'd get in a kickback.
That's correct. It was actually Feener. Mr. Feener's name was being dropped by Feener. Mr. Marshall. I think that's pretty clear, and I think we can surmise why, because Mr. Feener's father was the territorial commander in Georgia. So it was helpful to his effort to have Feener on board and to use that name. The comment to Feener in the meeting by Allison was, we're not saying you're getting a kickback. you should be careful of appearances. Your name is being bandied about so often that people might think something is askew here. And you know, if you take the word kickback and put it over here all by itself, that sounds bad. But if you take the word kickback in the context, and the cases in the circuit and in the District of Columbia District Court hold that you can't strip one word out of a statement and say it's defamatory. You have to look at it in context. Those who are at the media know the context and have testified in depositions and in their declarations that the context was just a little warning to Mr. Feener to be careful because his name is being bandied about.
But is there anything in the record that Feener was told to get this message to Marshall?
To give a message to Marshall?
To get the message to Marshall to quit dropping his name.
No, Your Honor. It was just within this group, Feener was told this. He wasn't told to tell anybody else about it. And he testified he never told Marshall that anybody
could. Well, but I mean, if Marshall's the one dropping his name, how are they going to get Marshall to stop?
Well, Your Honor's question was whether they told him to tell Marshall. And the answer is no. Whether he figured that out for himself and said something, it's not in the record. I have no idea, really.
But doesn't it make sense, though, if you're an employer and you chew out an employee about something an outsider says and you want that stopped, that employee is going to tell that outsider that?
Well, Your Honor, they did tell him to be cautious of appearances. And he, I don't know what he did with that, but the warning was to him. The warning was to him, and there was no accusation to Marshall about Marshall doing anything improper or anything about his products. Your Honor, the opening by Mr. Brown, Judge Williams, I think, asked whether this notion of malice was made with reference to the argument about the privilege applying. We all agree the privilege applies absent malice. And Mr. Brown's comment was yes. But even if there was malice, it doesn't mean that the defamatory statements were made.
No, of course not.
And here they were not, and that's the evidence in the record.
What evidence is there of malice?
There's none, Your Honor. There are conclusions of Mr. Marshall that there must have been something, that Allison had some malice against him. But
well, it's the
point. No, that's not the meaning of malice. In this context, would he have something against him? It's,
no, that's correct.
It's reckless disregard of the truth or knowing falsity as a result of the Supreme Court's decision in Gertz.
Well, the privilege applied to this meeting. We all agree on that. And it never this what went on in the meeting never went outside the meeting. So he didn't. We didn't take it. Marshall didn't have any evidence that this was further published. Yeah. That if a comment was made, even maliciously, that it went outside of this group. So there was really no publication to a third party without privilege. And there's no proof of malice. There's a lot of use of disgruntled employees.
Is there any indication that this remark that he's dropping your name so often, you know, gives the appearance that you might be getting a kickback or something, whether that was said in as humor?
No, Your Honor. I don't believe it was. They were concerned, and Mr. Sears had been at some of these presentations with Mr. Marshall where he personally observed Mr. Feener's name being used.
I wish you would. I'm still unclear about something.
Yes, Your Honor.
It seems to me that when Major Allison said, if it's territory-wide, if it's been approved, then I'm okay with that, on the one hand, which says to me that the territory ultimately, or can at least, make a decision about purchasing or budget or whatever, but at the same time, saying the territory, well, being inflamed by the fact that he said, we'd like, or we will roll it out, or we hope to, or we plan to roll it out territory-wide, because, as you said, it ruffled the feathers of the local core. So I still don't understand at what point the local Corps gets its direction or gets something from the territory or even the division?
Your Honor, that is difficult to understand because it really is a combination of, let's put it this way. The territory said to Major Allison, the District of Columbia and Virginia Division, of which you are General Secretary, is going to use this. It would be weeping and gnashing of teeth, but they use it because ultimately the territory and ultimately the U.S. Salvation Army National Office have the decision-making, but they do not try ever to overstep the Corps. It seems unusual because their thinking is the Corps knows what they need to service the people in their right. little area.
Right.
We're not going to fool with that unless it's something like a financial bookkeeping. I mean, the territory does do that for the division and the Corps, or as I said, a systems issue where we have to have a system that works across the Corps and the division.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
How much time does Mr. Brown have? Okay.
Judge Randolph read Dean Feener's deposition where he acknowledged that a kickback was used. Declarations were filed later by both Major Allison and Dean Feener saying, no, we don't recall that. But I asked Major Allison at his deposition on page 134, are you sure you used the word kickback? Answer, yes. I said it would appear that he may be getting some kickback.
Or something of value.
No, that was the end of the sentence.
No, we'll read the sentence before.
Before, you're right, before, that's why I had him clarify. Before he said or something like that, I said, are you sure? I wanted to be sure and lock him in on, did you actually say the word kickback or appearance of kickback? And he said yes to that.
Appearance, yeah.
Right. But then later in the declaration, I don't recall using the word kickback at all. Mm-hmm. And that's a genuine issue of material fact. We put on evidence of how venomous this term is in this industry. And to decide one way or the other on that for a court rather than a jury as to whether that's defamation or not, I think it's an issue of fact. You asked also about malice. You heard what he said, that feathers were ruffled. And in addition to that, we put on evidence from Mr. LaPole, who said, look, they're so loyal to Grizzard because of these benefits that are provided. This is their own former employees that are saying that they're so loyal to Grizzard, you know, because of these benefits, and they're not going to, and that's what happened. Major Allison wanted, we contend that we can prove to a jury that he wanted to destroy this program, that Mr. Allison had contracted to do and devoted time into for several years and that was ready to be implemented. And as a result of his conduct and his malice, my client was not paid. And so that's the basis of our lawsuit, and we feel like it needs to be heard on the merits before a jury. Thank you.
Thank you.